And I said, what about Udo Zarephath? The offering that brought out that harvest that day was sown years before. It wasn't that day. So what about that one? Maybe that was the straw, like they say, the last straw that broke the camel's back of her blessing. That is, her blessing began to pour forth. It's not, look, if you know God, it's not one single act. It's not one single act. It's not a single act. It's a heart attitude that is represented in acts that come again and again. You are getting the point I'm making? It's so important I explain these things. Because I said life is lived as a reward. Everything you will get in life will be a result of a seed that you sowed. But you cannot target the seed. You can't. All you can do is sow it in the morning and at night don't withhold back your hands. You don't know which one will prosper. Or maybe all of them together. And the way I've come to understand is that all of them indeed for the child of God who has sanctified that offering, sanctified all those acts, they will prosper. Just you don't know which what each one is bringing. Some of them are bringing harvest for your descendants. You are getting what I'm saying? You see, as we go on talking about the sanctification thing, you understand what I'm saying? You will understand it. Because you will find out that as the way God works, let me ask you a question. What did Jesus Christ need before he came down to this earth? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yet, he came, sowed a seed, and reaped a harvest. What was his harvest? So that he can bring many sons to glory. That is, his harvest was still watching other people being blessed. That is, there are seeds you will sow. And as you are sowing the seed like this, when God opens your eyes, he said, what is it? That was the seed that built the village school that you've always desired since you were young. It didn't build school for you. You are finished going to school. Your children, half are going to school in Switzerland, some in America, some in Lagos, some in Enugu. You know, in some ways, that is, you could have sent your children everywhere. But the one you really desired, all right, to bring a blessing, say, place you went, maybe you went for service somewhere in Taraba State or Adamawa State, and you really wish that, this will happen. But God looked at your heart and said, I know what you want to do, but it's not your job to build me a temple here. Go ahead and do your own. Are you getting my point? That while you are doing that, a seed comes out of your hands into the ground of this earth, and God blesses it. And when it germinates, God shows it to you, if he does, that there is a particular thriving school in that place that you always wanted to build. Now it is built. So how did that come to be? Because of a seed you sowed down here in Enugu. I blessed them in Adamawa State. Do you get my point? The problem we have had is that our desires have not been sanctified. You are getting what I'm not talking about, pursuit of holiness. We have thought that sow a seed, it gets back into my pocket. My pocket gets fatter, fatter, fatter. One day, look, that's a useless life. Are you getting my point? Hi. Everything is about me, I, myself. How many people are involved? Three people. What are their names? I, me, and myself. No. That is not a sanctified. Look, listen. If people say, look, give. If you give, God will increase the harvest and this will happen. I prefer that. What I understand from the scriptures is that if a man lacks, he should ask God. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive that your joy might be full. Are you getting my point? But when Jesus wanted to redeem the whole of mankind and return them back to God, he sowed a seed. Are you getting my point? Of himself. And God gave him a harvest, which was not for him, but that many sons might be brought to glory. Believe me, if Christians will learn to sow seeds like that, they will see their lives, their nations turn around faster than they could ever imagine. That is, you will get up and sow a seed for the building of a secondary school somewhere. If we have to do it like that, that's a better thing to do. But really, we can't target it. What they just said is, sow your seed in the morning, at night, don't pull back your hands. You don't know which one will prosper. But let me believe that every one of them will prosper. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's just that you cannot target which one will do what, but every one of them will prosper. You follow what I'm saying? Now, that's number one point I want to make. Let me make the other one, and I close, and I don't want us to stay for too long today. This is the first day, so we should just gist with ourselves, and then we'll continue the message next time. Second thing I want to bring out is this, and this is a very interesting one for me, because I have always wondered, the difference, because the Bible says the seed is the word of God. All right? And you see, a man's actions are the seeds that he sows into life that brings things out of life for him. Are you getting my point? Into the earth. And then the earth gives its increase back to this man. So I've always wondered, how does that relate? Then, after I discovered my wife, that thing clicked. Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. Yes. But is that the man goes out to sow the word of God? No. Then I realized something. The seed that is the word of God, Jesus said, is sown upon the hearts of man. Are you getting my point? The fruits, listen, the principle of this creation, God said that let the earth bring forth vegetation that has what? He said, bearing seed or bearing fruit that has seed inside it. Are you getting my point? Now, when the seed of the word of God comes into a man's heart, it brings forth fruit which contains the seed that he will now plant into the earth, and that will bring him harvest. Do you get my arithmetic there? Let me say that again. That is, for example, let's take Hannah in the Bible. Very good example. Hannah desired a child. God said, the seed is that I will minister seed to the sower. I will give you a child, all right, which you will sow as a seed. Now, she didn't understand the details of the theology. You follow my point? All she just knew was that a time came and that she went to the temple and prayed and vowed to God. And God said, that vow, because with God, let me explain and say, with God, sometimes you, before you take an action, it is accepted as taken. For example, the Bible said that Abraham sacrificed Isaac, and Isaac never died. But he did things that showed that, no, this man had gone all the way. So as far as God was concerned, when that woman made that vow, the seed was sown. Now, this point I want to make. How did she come to that point? Now, the Bible didn't tell us. But from adding many things together, you can easily understand that something must have prompted that action. Do you get my point? Something prompted that action. Because you will understand, if you go and read the Bible, let me not give you wrong figures, but I know for sure, the Bible said that Anna had about, I think, 5 other children after Samuel. I think there were 5. Thereabout. If I'm mistaken, it should be, maybe I missed it by 1. All right? Now, those were the children that God wanted to give Anna. Samuel was not Anna's son. Samuel was God's servant. Do you get what I'm saying? No, really. Anna was just the instrument that brought the boy to come and replace Eli and his useless household. You know, all those children that Eli had, they were according to the Bible, they were sons of Satan. That's literal. They were sons of the devil by their actions. Now, what brought her to that level where she could give Samuel up? Now, that is where the word of God works. Do you get my point? See, I don't understand how in life a Christian will succeed without placing himself or herself where the word of God is dropping. See, you can pray for things from God, no problem. God has heard. Possibly. I'm not saying it's always like that. He said, okay, I'm going to engineer events in your life to bring you to a particular level where you will do something that I will say. Because read the Bible, you will see a lot of times God will say, because of this thing you have done, I have sworn that in blessing I will bless you. There's always a because. Do you understand my point? He said, concerning Jesus Christ, because he did not love his life unto death. Are you getting my point? Therefore, God, I'm paraphrasing now, highly exalted him. He said, because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. There was a because. You are getting my point. So sometimes God wants to bring people to a level where there will be a because for him to do certain things. The only way he can do it, the way I understand it, is that it's by the infusion of his word. That is the seed principle of life, number 2, that I'm talking about. The first one is to establish that everything you do in life is a seed for something that you're going to get tomorrow. You get the point? But for you to sow the proper seeds, because sometimes people get up in the morning, all right? They desire wheat, but they are sowing tares. You get my point? They desire You know, I don't know how many of you know amaranthos. You know amaranthos? Yes. There is the amaranthos that goes into your vegetables. But there's the amaranthos that is a problem to your children's feet when they walk around without slippers. Can you remember that amaranthos? I remember the name of the second one, Amaranthos spinosus. The one that we eat, what is the name? People didn't do amaranthos. Ah, now wow. I knew all kinds of names those days. What is rice? You don't know rice, Oryza sativa. I still remember some of them. No, those days in school is a very nice way to make it look like you really know what you are doing. Anyway, the point I'm making is this. People desire amaranthos. All right? So they wake up in the morning, they are sowing seeds for the spinosaurus variety, thinking it is the vegetable one that they are going to harvest. That is why it's only instruction that a man, a woman heeds that will help him or her sow the proper seed. Are you getting my point? And this is the way the word of God works. It's God that's at work within you, both to will and to do. That is, the word enters you, it by itself causes you to begin to do the right things, which God will bless and say, because you did this. I told you before, when Solomon was going to be the greatest king on the earth, how did this happen? God said it, because you have not asked for this, but you have asked for that. That is, God said, I could have made you have everything you had ever seen. You get my point? That is, everything that your eyes could have desired, that your soul could have coveted, which will definitely be based on experience, only the things that you have seen, I could have given it to you. But you laid those things, you sanctified them, laid them upon the altar of God, and said, no, I want to be an effective high priest, if I may use that word, unto the people of God. God said, because of that, therefore, I will give you things that you have never seen. Are you getting my point? But how did he come to that level? He sowed a seed, he got a great harvest, right? But how did he come to that level? Go and read Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, read chapter 8. You will find out he always said, while I was young, my father used to say, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Are you getting my point? God said, my father said to me, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding. That is, the seed was sown into his heart. It wasn't a spontaneous decision. Let me just surprise God today. I will show him that I don't need anything in this world. This world is not my home. No, it was because his father taught him something. It was based upon the instruction of God's word that had entered into his heart, that he asked God for the right things. Are you getting my point? And God now judged those actions. Do you know, in my personal life, like, people ask me till today, they say, ask, how do you get to Enugu? Because you get somewhere, maybe, in fact, I was still recently, this one I went to, that was last week, the day before we came back, I saw one of my professor, who was my lecturer in school. So while we were discussing, I just said, sir, I know you will not recognize me because there are many of my type that you taught, but I'm one of your students. You taught me in class, you taught me this and all that. Like, oh, what do you do now? Oh, I'm a specialist also. I'm a pathologist. I am in UNT in Enugu. First question is, how did you get to Enugu? They ask it all the time. Do you get my point? My name is very, I'm a Yoruba man. Where did you go to school? Benin. After that, Lagos. And where do you work now? Enugu. How did you get here? They transfer you as a university lecturer, and they go transfer. How you take rich here? I carry my two legs, waka come here, took a job. So the thing is that, now, why am I saying that? I think about it. The reason why they're asking such questions is because they had fears. You know, this is interesting part. A friend of mine was telling me recently that he had been using me to give examples. When people tell him that tribalism, he said, hey, shut up. I have a friend. He's not good here. He teaches here. He does here. He's preaching the word of God all over here. What are you telling me about tribalism? That he uses me to shut people up. How did I get there? People try to discourage me too. But, you know, because of the word that has been sown into me, and listen to me, Satan is a liar. You know when he's a liar? The devil is a liar. It's not just a church cliche. It's the truth. The devil is a liar. You know what it means? The devil tells lies. He will tell you, don't go there. You won't succeed there. Because he knows that if you went there, you will succeed there. And he does not want you to succeed. And because I explained before, he knows if you challenge him, he can never stand you. So what he tries to do is to prevent you from challenging him at all. There are places, are you the one that told me the story? How you ended up in Enugu was good anyway. He said he wanted position. That's how God taught him that one. They told him, you need connection. He too believed it. You need connection. So go and apply for a housemanship position as a house officer in a place where you have connection. So he went all the way to, is it Laurie? He said he went to go and apply. The place where he knew, where he wanted to go, he did not apply because they lied to him that he didn't have connection. It's the interesting part. The connections in the place he went, they disappointed. The place where he refused to apply, everybody that applied, Tom, Dick, and Harry, was employed. Are you getting, you are getting the logic? He said, I learned that lesson. Like I said, all Satan tries to do is to prevent you from challenging him. Because he knows if you were to challenge him, he will lose. So he tries to explain to you that, ah, you want to challenge me? He, you see that guy, he will just kill you. He has killed five, you know the way Sennacherib did it. He came, sat around the Jerusalem wall. Hezekiah is deceiving you. There is nobody that has withstood my God. Ah, all their gods, I converted them. They got born again, began to serve my own God. All they had to do was stand that guy, and he was going to fall. Do you know if they had believed him, they would have gladly subjected themselves to put, bring out your hand. They will clip their hands, and they will become slaves. And God will say, "Aye, oh, that you would have hearkened unto me. Then your righteousness would have been like the river, and your well being like the waves of the sea." You are getting the point I'm making. So people try to discourage me there, but this is the point I'm making. Before them, words had come into my heart. Words that told me about the story of Joseph, who was a Hebrew child, and who went into Egypt as a slave, and who went into jail on a serious offense. So he was a Hebrew, and a slave, and a prisoner. He now went amongst the people that the Bible said that the Egyptians despised the Hebrews. That is the word the King James used. When Joseph separated his brothers and the Egyptians from eating together, it was not because he wanted to prevent them from desecrating his people. It was because it was an offense to the Egyptian to eat with an Hebrew man. It was an offense. You are offending. How can you sit me down and sit with all these funny cattle raiders? Yet, all of them were doing, yes, sir. They knew Joseph was a Hebrew. I hope you know that. All of them were doing, yes, sir. You think they didn't tell the story? They would have told the story. Say, ah, my God, when we were in prison, that guy used to tell us his story about his father in the village. The gist was have gone around. But all of them still did, yes, sir. Now, that story was in my heart. So when it came to making decisions, nobody could discourage me that somebody would discriminate against me. As anybody who discriminates against me has discriminated against his own blessing. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, I will have blessed you, but now you have rejected the blessing. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I had wanted to gather you like the hen gathers her chick, but you would not. Now, for that reason, your house is left to you desolate." That is, who lose? Now, Jerusalem. They reject Jesus Christ. Not them. I just say, so that is the way it's always been with me. So I always, no, listen, no, believe me. My wife is there. God is my witness, and she's a witness too. I talked like this so much at the point that I said, "This man, you are too full of yourself." I went back home to think about it. I came back, I said, "No, I don't agree with you. I am full of God." Do you get my point? Yes, there is a spirit in man. It is inside me. You know what John G. Lake said? He said, some people say that you are bragging on yourself. You are bragging on yourself. He said, my friend, if you have power with God, you will brag. You can't keep quiet if God is working in your life. He said, guys who don't brag, they ain't got nothing. You get my point? If you have power with God, you will brag about it. I think that to my wife. I said, no vexo. Now, power inside me, that is why I'm talking like this. Are you getting my point? That as a man is stimulated by the word of God, that he begins to sow the right seeds in life. I can imagine God saying, that is, as people were saying that, don't go there. And I say, I will go. Why? Because God is with me. Wherever I go, I will succeed. As I take that step, God will say, because of this thing that you have done, because you have not listened to the voice of men, but you have listened to the voice that I placed inside you, therefore, in blessing, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Anybody who doesn't like me is the one that is in trouble. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because it is dangerous to dislike a man who God is trying to bless. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Now you go lose, like I keep on saying. Now you go lose. You are getting my point? What am I saying by all these things? That is the seed principle of life. The seed of the word of God is sown in your heart. When you believe it, it propels you to spontaneous, seedful actions in life that now begets for you great blessing. Listen to this. The seed that is of God that you sow, actually is a spiritual seed. And your inheritance, the Bible says, is in heaven. I don't mean you die and get to heaven. No, no, no. Before you get it. What he said is that where it is kept, economic adversity does not touch it. That's what he means by heaven. Are you getting my point? Now listen, the dust can increase 10 times. It doesn't make any difference. If God has called a man and said, you will prosper, he will still prosper. Listen, every day in life, you know, in fact, the other day I was talking to my sister-in-law. I said, 2007 is my year of music. You know, everybody has a year of this, year of that. I said, those days in university, I used to like music. I said, all the cares of the world and all the wahala and everything in life has made me forget music. Now, since we came back from this holiday, every night, except there's no light, music is playing in my bedroom. I'm not joking about that. I mean that literally. I'm not joking about it. I placed a deck in one place where my children can't climb on top of it. And once it's evening, once I enter the room to pray, I put the CD in, put it in, and I put it on, repeat all. It plays till morning or till the light goes off. I say 2007 is my year of music. What am I trying to say? They have discovered that what Satan tries to do is to distract people away from the word of God and starts deceiving them with the things happening around. The heart of men always faint when they observe the things that are going on. Their heart will always fail. Hey, fuel is 130 a liter. Oh, 130 a liter. 130 a liter. Oh, 130 a liter. You know, those days when they say, buy cars that are fuel efficient. You never can tell the price of fuel. I said, if I can't drive car, let me not drive it. If I want to drive car, let me drive car. I don't want to drive lawnmower because it's fuel efficient. Do you understand what my point? Look, I understand that, see, fuel can be costly. I said, but God has to increase me above the cost of fuel. You are getting what I'm saying? It is my responsibility, therefore, to focus on the word of God so it can work in my life. That's why I said 2007, my year of music. I must wake up in the morning praising God, being happy. Satan shouldn't come and deceive me. You know, people just before, you know, after walking all the way from Egypt, through the Red Sea, after all the wahala, just at the edge of the promised land, they said, we cannot enter. Ah, I said, God forbid, batting. Not in my life. Hey, all these years, I was telling my wife the other day, I said, listen, when my colleagues, friends were doing things that were yielding them money, they were building houses and doing things, I was still believing God and preaching and taking action that says by faith. I said, at this point, if I want to die, let me die. It is too late to turn back and start catching people. No, it's too late. I'd better enter the promised land by faith or don't enter anywhere at all. It's true. David said, Solomon said, better is the dead than the living. And better than the two of them is the one that has never lived. So, okay, sure, I have lived. If I won't see good, let me cuckoo that. But I must see it. You get what I'm going to say? He said, those that hopefully wait for him will not be put to shame. Ah, no, that's one I believe in totally. And I will not let Satan come and discourage me. Say, for it's now 1:30. I said, listen, God never said before. He said, behold, because fuel is cheap, therefore in blessing I will bless you. Did he ever say that? His blessing is not predicated upon the cost of petrol. He didn't say, because dollar is 100 naira, therefore in blessing I will bless you. No. Are you getting my point? It is as I walk in faith before God that God's blessing, the oath he took concerning Abraham becomes my own also. So what Satan tries to do is to discourage me. He says, look at it, all problems have begun. They are going to finish you. Listen, what I will do, just ignore the voice of Satan. That's why I said 2007 is my year of what? Music. I just feel like saying that there are many people that listen, they have labored before God. They have struggled. When I say struggled, I don't mean that the man has been working hard to do his business. No, I mean by faith, he has done things. People say, go like this. He said, no, I will go like this because this is a course of God, the path of God for my life. My life is sanctified to pleasing God. God has said to me in my heart, if I go this way, he will bless me here. Then just before they enter the place of blessing, Satan becomes desperate. Listen, you know what he does? He pours every challenge against them. All kinds of voices. Your parents will come and explain to you your foolishness. Everybody will say, we have told him. One day I told God, I said, listen, one thing must never happen. That in this world, somebody will open his mouth and say, we told him that he did not listen. I said, walking by faith before God, it must never happen. That somebody will say that we told him that he did not listen. I said, no, what I will hear is that, man, that guy was wise. He knew what we was doing. We were the one that didn't understand. Because the Bible has said, those that hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Listen to me, if they are heaping wahala on top of one another for you now, then get suspicious. Maybe you're about to enter and Satan is getting desperate. Do you get my point? Oh, go and get that message, the rest of God, that we preached sometime last year. That is, at the point in time, just ignore. Say if he wants to collapse, let it collapse. But I'm not pulling back. I will not change my actions. I will not change my words. Hey, listen, I will continue doing this because that is what my faith is dictating. If I want to change, let me change because of new understanding, not because I have now found that these people who are telling me the voice of, you know, they are repeating the voice of Satan, that country is dangerous. Listen, people, you're telling me that day about a man who came back to Nigeria. He was not finding a job for his wife in Nigeria. I said, why did he come back? He said, he can't take work for Nigeria. I said, people are living abroad and coming to take work in Nigeria. Now, so the thing they take start to, people are sending their children back to school in Nigeria. I have said, like Bishop Oyedepo said, and those are the ways the words of God will come. He said, how did he say it again? He said that black is not lack. Are you getting my point? The fact that a man is black is not. He said, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. That the same God in India is the same God here. Those were the words of Bishop David Oyedepo. I heard them in 1991. I have believed them since then, and I still believe them till today. And those that hopefully wait for God will not be put to shame. Nobody will run somewhere to go and gather money and come and buy land upon which I have tabernacled. You don't get what I'm going to say. Before you come, I will have mopped everything up if that is what God wants to give to me in life. Do you understand my point? The same God in India, Bishop said then, is the same God here. He said, he told God, if you cannot bless me here, don't bless me anywhere. Otherwise, how will I know that my people can be saved? You see what I'm talking about, sanctification? That is what he's saying in effect, is that my life has been consecrated to be an example for God to the people. That God will use me as an example. When my friend told me the other day that I told somebody, shut up, you're talking about tribalism, it is because you're not ready to do anything. He said, and I gave you as an example. I said, Father God, I said it. My life has to count. Are you getting my point? That when we want to instruct people in the path of righteousness, say, sit down. You know, just like Banky said, as you have seen Banky do, as he did like this, I said, very good. That is what I'm praying for in life. That is what I mean by consecration and holiness. You get my point? That is what holiness is. Therefore, I declare 2007 as my year of music. I will dance and sing and rejoice. No matter the trials, I will dance and sing and rejoice because it means I'm about to break into the promised land. I believe I'm speaking to somebody tonight. And Satan is trying to discourage you because if he does, listen to me, you have lost everything. Are you getting my point? All those guys who walked with Moses to the edge of the promised land, they died. You know that? They left Egypt. They said sacrifice, they sacrificed. Eat in the haste, they ate it. Eat it roasted with bitter herbs. You know what they did? They ate the food roasted with bitter herbs. Eat it with your loins girded. They did that. Staff in your hand, they did everything. Move, they moved. Red Sea parted, they went through there. They went through everything. They got to the edge of the promised land. They said, we can't enter. What happened? They died there. Do you get my point? Let's end it here. We'll continue from there next Monday. The Lord is good. If you believe the Lord is good, shout a very loud amen. Now let's begin to give.